May the peace and the joy of the Trinity fill our hearts now and forever. Our text is the epistle lesson that you had in the Old Testament lesson you have in front of you, combined with the gospel lesson also, so I will not reread that. In Christ Jesus, dear friends, I want to go back in the gospel lesson to Jerusalem, the day of our text. A star was shining brightly. Jerusalem didn't see it. The wise men were following that star, and they were going by faith. For 1 to 2 years, that's how long the journey took them. And all this time, they had that faith and they kept their eye on the star until they got to Jerusalem. And what happened there? Their minds took over. Sometimes our minds try to overrule the faith, and we forget what the Lord wants. Their minds took over. Jerusalem, yes, the star is there, that's the place. And they go into Jerusalem. Where is he? Where's who? The king. We don't know about any king. And he kept asking till Herod heard about it. And then Herod went to the people, to the church leader, said, what is it? Where is that supposed to be? Where is that star going? And they should have known. They did know it was right there, because when they looked it up, they found out. They went to Herod and said, here it is. It's going to be in Bethlehem, that little town, several miles out. And so Herod very wisely told the wise men, said, okay, Bethlehem, you go and check it. And when you find the child, come back and tell me that I too can go and worship him. Which we know what he really wanted to do is go kill Christ's child. But God intervenes there again. But their faith came back. They were sidetracked by the lights of Jerusalem. And how often do we in our lives get sidetracked by the world? You know, we're living in a world of lights, a world of activities, a busy, busy world where it's hard to find time for the Lord. And yet, we cannot be distracted. This is what Epiphany is all about. It used to be debated whether Epiphany was the mission festival of the year, but then they didn't want to just say that in history, so they had mission festival later. But Epiphany is all about missions. It's the Christmas of the Gentiles. Now all people have a chance for salvation, and this was prophesied by Isaiah way beforehand. I preached about Isaiah the last two times I preached. When I preached about Manasseh and the good King Hezekiah, who was there? Isaiah the prophet. He is the one that counseled Hezekiah, and he is the one that prayed for Manasseh to repent. And it happened much later, where finally he did repent. But he was there while the Israelites were taken captivity of Babylon. God had told them finally. And remember why they went? Because Hezekiah, the one who was given 15 extra years to live when he prayed to God and had Isaiah pray with him and for him, and God gave him 15 years, but during that time he showed the wealth of the country to the Babylonians. So they saw the wealth and they came to get it. How about America today? The wealth of the country? Have we shown the wealth of the country to our enemies? China owns us almost. Their national debt, I think, was it 42 trillion? I can't imagine that amount. The national debt. Our representatives in Congress, both parties, spending money like if, oh, it's just more and more. And the nation goes along with it. Oh, good, we want more, we want more, we want free. Forgive the college debts. When I went to seminary, I had a Korean War veterans payment, $110 a month, which didn't near pay at all, so I worked 40 hours a week while I was in seminary. I went through 6 years in five, so I didn't have to pay for that extra year. And it really bothers me when everybody wants their debts forgiven. You know, when you make a debt, you pay it back. This is what it's about. Our nation is there. They said the national debt now, if we're divided up among every taxpayer, we would each owe almost $1 million. That's our nation. We're getting in that same shape. What happened to the Israelites there and their riches, and suddenly they're all gone. And I feel we are close to that point in America. Our morality has dropped to nothing. We owe everybody. There are the wars and rumors of war around the world in the Middle East right now. We never know what day it could erupt. And we'd be in a world war. And we could be captive. America could be captive within years. You don't want to believe it, do you? I don't want to believe it either, but we are that close. And the last days, where they are described in the Bible, it's a picture of America today and the world today. Our colleges today, they don't want to train students in the way they should go. They don't want to train them with the Ten Commandments and the government, the Constitution. The rioting we have countrywide and worldwide, trying to wipe out the Jews. Kind of familiar, isn't it? Back here when Babylon said, we're going to wipe them out, but God didn't let them wipe them out. And even today, God is saving the Jews because some firmly believe that yet before the end comes, that they are finally going to accept Jesus as Messiah. Just praise the Lord that they are still alive and still have a chance to come to Him. As we look in our text here in the Old Testament, Isaiah was a very tired prophet. Reaching out to a people that were in captivity, had been for almost 70 years at that time, and trying to give them hope. But God gave so many visions through Isaiah in his ministry. Remember Isaiah 7:14? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, call his name Emmanuel. Then Isaiah 9:6, unto us a son is born, unto us a Lord is given, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting God, the Almighty Father, the Prince of Peace. Then in chapter 11, verse 1, he shall be a branch from Jesse's line, is where he's coming from. And then we heard last month in Isaiah 40 about John the Baptist. Prepare the way, prepare the way. Receive him, open up your hearts wide and receive him. Then Isaiah 53, a very favorite Lenten series, a sermon series, the suffering Savior, where the suffering death of Jesus is brought out so clearly by Isaiah, 700 years before he was born, Isaiah was given that foresight. And now today, our Old Testament lesson today, Isaiah was given the foresight of the Magi coming. All those coming from the east, they shall come and you should arise and shine. Let your light shine. That's what he says to them then, and that's what he says to you and me today. Let your light shine. But we do need to examine ourselves. Say, are we really shining? Are we really shining out as they did there? The inspiring words that Isaiah reached out to show them there was still hope. And the wise men coming from the east showed there was a hope coming from somewhere else. You know what that means? Some of those Israelites in captivity were witnesses. They were telling about the true God. I know some of them that were. We don't know for sure where the wise men came from. Some like to think Babylon, because that's where we knew the wise men being trained with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were being trained as the wise men because they were some of the brightest and best of the Jews, and they were picked out to be trained. But as they lived their faith, people had to see it and recognize it. The kings recognized in Daniel and in the wise men. What happened? I thought you were dead in a fiery furnace. But they realized that, so the word got out through them. And that's why Epiphany is a missionary Sunday. To really reach out to the Gentiles. We who are Gentiles now must never forget that we have the true gospel, that we still must reach out to the Jews. That's why we pray for them, that they will accept the Messiah before it's too late. And this is this light that is coming to the world. They were looking forward to it. Isaiah was seeing it so clearly, as though it had already come. What is, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of God is risen upon thee. But if you back up a few verses, Isaiah was looking at the world around him. In 59 verse 12, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. He knew why. Why the captivity? And we know why, if it happens to America, that we can look around and blame everybody else. But did you notice how he put this? This was Isaiah. Oh, we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our transgressions are multiplied. Our sins testify against us. Our transgressions are with us. And for our iniquities, we know them. So we have all sinned and fallen short. And that's why Epiphany is a day of liberation for us. Because we know that we have rebelled against God and we have failed Him so often in thought, word, and deed. We have not done what we should have done when we were told to do it. And we have committed sins that we knew about. We commit sins we don't even know about. So every day we need to come back to the Lord in penitence. We need to look to Calvary, because that's where they finally thought they had it. You know, they tried to kill Jesus during His whole ministry. Herod tried to kill Him when He was a baby. They tried. Well, finally they succeeded, they thought. They thought they had it. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," they says, "Hallelujah, it's finished." But they didn't realize the hallelujah was for you and for me, for our redemption. That the victory was complete. That He had fought the fight. He finished the course. He kept that faith and stayed true to it until death on the cross. But He didn't stay in the grave. But He rose again. So as it was in Isaiah's days, it is today. Because, like I said before, money is there. Money is there in the world. We want all the niceties of America. And yet we want all of Jesus too. But We want to sometimes take him on our own conditions rather than truly give ourselves to him totally. I'm going to be in church regardless. I need to be there because that's where I get fed the word. That's what brought me to the faith, and that's what keeps me in the faith, and that's why it's so important to come to church. But it's also so important to let our light shine. We're reflectors. Like the planets have no light of their own, it comes from the sun. So we have no light of our own. It all comes from Jesus Christ. We must shine. But the Christian church today, many of them have gone away from the Lord. They still say they believe, but how they can still believe in Jesus and live as though they're in the days of Noah and Lot, where it's okay, homosexuality is okay, transgender is okay, abortion's okay, everything's okay. These are Christian churches by name, but they have deserted the Lord. They haven't really learned what it's all about. We just celebrated Christmas Day. Christmas Day, wonderful service, and we had a pretty good crowd here. As we were going home, back to Camdenton, we passed either 7 or 8 churches. Guess how many of them were having church service? None. None. A couple of years ago, a big Baptist leader in America said, "Oh no, we don't have service on Christmas Day. That's for family." That's our world today. That's our world today. The louder voices of the world are calling for us, but the darker the night, and I think the night is getting darker in America all the time, the brighter must shine the light of our Redeemer, the transfigured one, the one who died and rose again. And so he is calling to us through Isaiah again today to arise and shine, for your light has come. Now they tried to wipe him out. They tried and tried. But you remember when he came into the world, when the time was right, he was born. And when the time was right, he said, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man is going to be delivered over, betrayed, and killed." That was the plan. The time was right. And then he said, "I'm going to come again to take you to myself." Isaiah, even in chapter 66, had a vision of this. When the world is going to be burned up, and we're getting closer and closer to that day. But the Lord talks about church as being rich. And we are rich. We are rich in God's grace and mercy, the Word and the sacrament. We're rich in workers for the Lord. Workers for the Lord. What was it, a month ago we had the new officers come forward, stand front. And they didn't all come forward, all the workers. Because if all the workers came forward, hopefully we would have all had to come forward. But I knew many that didn't come forward, and yet we had people from end to end up here. And this is what the church is all about. There's so many things that must be done for our church to work. And sometimes we complain it's too hot or too cold, or the decorations are too bright or not bright enough, and we complain. Instead of taking the responsibility, being rich in the Lord, just look at things in here now. Like Dick was saying, we need people to come move chairs around here, or blessing babies and beyond. All the work, that whole warehouse, I call it out here now, is full. We're taking care of. That's what Epiphany is all about. To arise and shine, to let your light shine before the world, that We don't live just for ourselves, but we reach out to others to shine. That's why Isaiah says, "Arise and shine, your light has come." And he says it to us again today. We're thankful we have that light, and we know that we did not work for it. We did not get it by ourselves. It's by the grace of God that we came to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's by the grace of God that we get up each day and ask in the morning, hopefully, "Lord, what do you want me to do today?" And then go forward, knowing we're going to fall again, we're going to sin again, but also knowing at the end of the day, Jesus is there with our forgiveness, even as we bow our heads in penitence. And that's the joy. The light has come. Arise and shine. It must first shine in our hearts before we can do anything with it. We have to personally come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, to realize that I can do nothing good without the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we have to let it shine in our homes. We can't be individuals, but the light has to be shining where our home is, a Christian home. And then we let it shine in the church, in our jobs, to all the world. And that's again the message of Epiphany. Arise and shine, your light has come. And the light that came in Bethlehem is coming again to take us to Himself. In His name. Now may that beautiful peace with God that we have through the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus hold us steadfast in the faith unto life everlasting. Amen.